Welcome to Movie Dumpster Season 7, Episode 4. Today we're talking about Fatal Termination from 1990, directed by Yenghua Kam. And we're going to be talking about one of the most dangerous stunts possibly ever put to film. I'm Joel Lascola.
And I'm Sean O'Rourke.
Welcome to the dumpster. It's March, baby. You know what that means.
Do I?
I think so.
Leprechauns, yeah. Shamrocks, four-leaf clovers, basically the same thing, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but also highlighting...
Women Empowerment Month, yes, also. I was kind of doing a bit there. I guess it wasn't a very good bit, but it was a bit.
Well, it's two things.
Yeah, we'll get to St. Patty's Day shortly.
Again,
but you're right.
Two halves of the same coin. And yeah, we like to do that every year. Last year, Jenna Fryer joined us for Thriller, A Cruel Picture.
Talk about a woman empowerment movie. What a revenge film.
It's very much a big rape revenge movie.
Yep.
One of the most infamous ones to ever come out. And on that episode, we discussed some stuff like Pinky Violence stuff that we might have wanted to tackle and stuff like that. Jenna was supposed to join us on this episode, but our schedules just could not line up correctly, unfortunately, this year. She'll definitely be on next year.
Right, or I might be able to get her in on something else. There's ideas in DMs out there, but yeah, for now, you'll have to wait for Jen's return. But we're still talking about Fatal Termination regardless.
Yeah, absolutely. And we picked Fatal Termination because it has one Moon Lee in it, which we're highlighting. We're going to highlight her this month. But it's not necessarily a revenge film or a centric film around Moon Lee.
No.
I mean, it is, but it's not.
It is, but it's not. And I have a little bit of a bone to pick with the way that this movie's marketed, and maybe this is just me looking things up online, and maybe the marketing when this came out were actually very different, but I feel like they heavily feature Moon Lee in this, and she is good in this, but she is basically only in like 10% of this movie, and I think that's kind of shitty. What she does in this film is still awesome, and we're going to talk about it. Don't get me wrong, but I was expecting a lot more of Moon Lee. We did get a lot of Robin Hsu in exchange.
Which we're going to get to.
Which I'll kind of take, but I love Moon Lee in the stuff I've seen her in the past. So that was a little disappointing right out the gate. I'll just say that.
Yeah, this is no Fighting Madam or Angel Enforcer or anything like that, but she is in it, and I did want to tackle it because this fucking movie's insane.
Oh, it is insane.
And she's a part of it. And it's also been put out by our friends over at Error 44444.
Right.
4444444s. Yeah.
Get that right, goddammit. Yes. Kieran's got five E's. They've got four fours.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know if they did that on purpose, because I know in Japan, four is known as an unlucky number. It has to be, because they mostly do Asian films, right?
Yeah, they do a lot of restorations of just like basically cult Asian cinema. Which is pretty fucking amazing. They've been doing some really great stuff. I'm going to talk about them in a little bit.
Sure, sure.
But if you want some more Movie Dumpster content, you can head over to patreon.com/moviedumpster. You can get an ad-free audio version of the show for as little as $2 a month. And if you sign up for the $5 or $10 tiers, you get stuff like commentary tracks, live watch-alongs with us. You can be hanging out with us and chatting in the chat, and all kinds of other good stuff. And you can support your favorite show.
And for nothing at all, you can leave a like here on this video if you're watching on YouTube, and share the video with your friends. Subscribe if you're not already. It really does help grow this dumpster community and get the show out there into more eyeballs, eardrums, and everything in between. And on that note, if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, please leave us that 5-star review. And if you have time, even write a review. That also helps a lot. We really do appreciate it.
And if you want to keep up with the Dumpster Boys, you can follow us at Movie Dumpster on any of the social media platforms, or you can go to moviedumpsterpodcast.com. We got a store full of some good stuff. You can find out where we're going to be at, any events and stuff. We're going to be at Monster Mania in Cherry Hill, New Jersey on March 8th, 9th, and 10th. And then we're going to be at Tapes from the Crypt at the Philomoka in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on 420 for a showing of Heavyweights, followed by a live Q&A with Sean Wise. Get your tickets now, and you're not going to want to miss it. We'll see you there.
A lot of good stuff coming up, Joe. A lot is happening in the dumpster. I think we even have a couple other things going on.
Oh, yeah, man. We were just nominated for a Rondo Hatton Award.
Which is kind of crazy.
I was completely taken aback by that. A friend of ours messaged us on Instagram and was like, hey, congratulations on being nominated. And I'm like, what the fuck? What
is he talking about? Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, we're nominated. So that was a big deal for us. And you can actually vote now if you go to rondoaward.com. It's email only.
Right.
Okay. That's the only way you can submit to cast your vote is to send an email. So if you head over to rondoaward.com, you can find us in the 19th category for best podcast. And you can cast your vote to terrico@aol.com. And make sure to get your vote in by April 16th. This is a huge thing for us. And of course, the dumpster community too. You guys are the reason why this is happening, because we have grown this show with us so big, and so we're so grateful for that. And we're asking for your help again,
yeah.
so we can cinch that. You know what I'm saying? So yeah,
so we can beat Mick Garris out. Yes, yes.
Mick Garris is probably going to kick our ass.
I mean, he did just end his show, but yeah. Besides the point. We love you, Mick.
Absolutely. No, of course we love Mick. It was just a goof. But you know, help us out, cast that vote, and yeah, it's going to be pretty awesome. So yeah.
Thank you.
So yeah, dude, Fatal Termination from 1990, baby. This action-packed, completely over-the-top insanity from Hong Kong.
Yeah, it's pretty over-the-top. There's some pretty crazy car chases in this, actually.
There's crazy car chases, crazy stunts.
Gunfights.
Gunplay, squibs going off all over the place. Cool-ass kung fu fights and shit.
They get it in there. There's not a lot, but they sneak it in, the kung fu.
Oh, man, there's
Robin Shu and Moon Lee especially.
Yeah, there's a bunch of little fights going on here and there. But it's mostly like a crime drama movie. It's like a neo-noir, rather.
It is. It has a lot of characters you're kind of jumping from that are all kind of interconnected in this movie. Have their little part to the plot, if you will. Which makes it kind of move along pretty at a pretty good pace, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
It keeps you on the edge of your seat for sure. We're not going to break it down that way because it's going to get too confusing. So we're going to just talk about it. We're going to kind of put some stuff in chronological order and kind of connect the dots as we go through.
Sure.
Because we're going to be like, and then this, and then they meet up here. But it's crafted extremely well.
Right. No, I agree.
Yeah, it's very suspenseful, and you don't know what's going to happen next and who's going to go after who and why everything's happening.
I mean, we definitely get our central antagonist very early on, but yeah, the spider web kind of goes out throughout the film.
Oh,
and touches characters in ways you weren't expecting to be touched.
No, not at all.
Don't ever think that analogy.
Yeah. We're gonna do a little BTS now.
A little BTS. I'm surprised you found even a grain of BTS.
Well,
this film, when you look it up on IMDb, has like a sentence that I don't even think really is any actual trivia. It just says, like, Jackie Chan was attached to this film when it was released.
No, that's not true.
I'm saying that's the only thing on IMDb.
Well, the thing on IMDb is that when it was released in the Philippines, they put his fucking name on the poster.
That's what it was,
as director.
Why
which
not?
Is not true.
Which is kind of funny. Oh, they filmed this movie in the Philippines. We're really proud of it, but Jackie Chan, just get that extra nudge.
I don't know why they put that out in the Philippines.
Yeah, it was big at the time, I guess, Jackie.
At that. Yeah, I mean, I guess so, but
I don't know. That's my only answer, but that's the only trivia I could find.
I mean, there is a Jackie Chan connection, but we'll get to that. Paul Wong is the connection.
Oh, okay.
He was a stunt guy, but we'll get to that.
Sure.
There's not too much look, I'll be upfront. I'm still kind of new to the Hong Kong action flick stuff.
Okay.
I'm much more Japanese. I'm tapped into the Japanese stuff.
Sure.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
Like, we talked about it last year. Like, I know the Prisoner of Scorpion movies. I know the Pinky Violence stuff. I know the Japanese, the J-horror stuff. I'm just more clued in to So the China stuff, or the Hong Kong stuff, rather, is still kind of a new landscape for me. And I had the pleasure of being on the VHUS podcast with Dirk Marshall to talk about the Peacock King, and that was fucking great. And it's always like a special effects extravaganza, and there's a lot of great kung fu stuff normally in the movies. But like, I don't really have a firm grip on it yet. I don't know too much about it. And I have a couple things, like I have encounters of the spooky kind and stuff, and I've seen what is that? Bodybuilder in Hell, whatever the fuck that was called. It's like the, it's like the Chinese Evil Dead.
Okay, that's kind of interesting. I never heard of that, but now I need to look that up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not...
Which I don't know if it's Japanese or Chinese.
I have no idea. I'm also kind of in a similar boat as you, Joe. I definitely have seen a lot of the Jackie Chan early stuff.
The Jackie Chan stuff,
Police Story and stuff like that. Some of the Chow Yun Fat and John Woo stuff.
Absolutely.
From the mid-90s, early 90s. Hard Boiled definitely comes to mind.
Those are like stateside shit, though.
No, that was Chinese.
No. I know, but I'm saying it was released here.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like Rumble in the Bronx and all that kind of shit, Hard Boiled.
That's a good point, whereas this is like first time ever released in the States, as far as I know.
This is Hong Kong. And I don't know. It might be the first time released in the States. I'm not sure, but it might have been bootlegged. I know that there's an English dub of it, so it was probably released either on DVD or VHS. I'm not sure.
I guess just to finish that thought before we get back to what you were saying, I guess I'm in a similar territory as you. I've seen probably 10, 20 of these films over the course of my life, maybe even 30 if I really sat here and thought about it, but not deep in the lore. Definitely know more about other genres of films, but I do love me some Hong Kong action films.
Let me tell you something. That's what makes me so excited, and that's why I wanted to cover this, because it's just it's fucking great, and I just want to watch more of this stuff, man. It's
no
just
OSHA,
so...
no safety people on set saying you can or cannot do a thing. For better or worse, you get some incredible stuff in this film. Like we teased in that intro, like Joe said, with some of the stunts in this film are kind of insane. Make me think of some of those early Jackie Chan films where you hear him talk about later and like, wow, I can't believe we did that. I can't believe I almost fucking died when I jumped through this thing and almost got electrocuted, but we did it. Yeah. We're here. And it's like, wow.
And it's like, it's an insane movie to watch.
Right,
too.
That this film fits that bill several times, actually.
And it's not just a spectacle.
No.
I think it's acted really well, and the story is fucking solid as hell. And it's that neo-noir thing where it's got that kind of gritty, on-the-streets, dirty cop thing going on.
Yeah.
Drug dealers, guns dealers, arms dealers, things going on. And people caught up in the web of that. It's fucking cool. I just want to talk about like the director a little bit, and as we go through, we'll talk about Moon Lee, and we'll talk about Ray Liu, and we'll talk about Robin Shu and everybody and stuff
and
like that.
Simon Yao, I think his name is.
Simon Yao.
Detective Lee.
And Philip Coe.
Yes.
And we'll talk about all of them. But yeah, Yang Wacom, or he's built with like a bunch of AKAs. And it's that thing of like Americanizing the Chinese or Japanese people's names.
So that
it's palatable for people in the U.S. because we can't fucking be bothered to learn how to say their names.
Right, I mean, I'm kind of laughing, but it's almost like a nervous laughter for all those people in the U.S. especially, but around the world. But yeah, he also goes by Andrew.
Andrew, yeah.
Which, if you look this up, in some places, he's credited as his actual Chinese name, in other places as Andrew, and the credits actually credit him as Andrew, and I don't know if that was just error 4444 doing that when they subbed the film or not, but...
I think because it's the English credits, that's the name that you would know him
sure,
as.
Sure, no, that makes
Andrew
sense.
Andrew Com, you know? So anyway, he's done a bunch of stuff. I haven't really seen any of it, but now I want to after seeing this, because he's done a movie called The Big Heat, which is another movie that he's like known for, which I'd like to check out. A movie called Heart of Killer.
Hmm.
I'm not really sure. It's like in Chinese, on IMDb.
Oh, like even
and the translation on the poster says Heart of Killer. So okay. I don't know exactly. And then he did another movie called Asian Cop High Voltage, which sure sign me the fuck up. That sounds great.
Okay.
But if they're anything like this movie, sign me up.
Yeah, gotta be action thrillers, for sure, I would imagine.
So jumping back to stunts real quick, because we were just talking about all the stunts and stuff about this, Ridley Choi does the stunt coordination and most of the stunts in this movie.
Well done.
Which we'll get to when we get to some of them, and I'll point him out. But he's a very established stunt guy, and he worked with the stunt crew, Jackie Chan stunt crew, and all of them in China, which is pretty amazing. And like part of that school and like martial arts and how to fall and all that kind of stuff. Really incredible guy. There's an interview with him on this Error 4444 disc. That was 4-4, sorry. Yeah, I think so.
I think so, yeah. We'll keep a count. Take a shot every time we fuck it up.
Yeah.
Or every time we get it right, whichever one's going to get you more drunk.
There you go. Every time we say 4, there you go.
Oh, God. good night, you're already done.
But he doesn't. He has an interview on this, which is really great, and he talks a little bit about behind the scenes about doing the stunt coordination on the film and taking all the falls and shit, and like some of it's just like insane, like that one pool scene that we were talking about before we jumped on the recording.
Oh yeah, 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 guy getting thrown in a pool. Yeah.
Holy shit,
underselling it.
Oh
but
my
yeah.
god, we're jumping off a fucking roof. That three-story fucking fall into a tree that we'll talk about. He also plays Smoke in Mortal Kombat Annihilation and had done some of the stunt choreography on that. So there you go. With Robin Shue, of course.
That fucking movie. Yeah, right. Robin Shue's in that too, right? Yeah. He came back. Mortal Kombat Annihilation is so fucking bad, but it just keeps eking back into the MDU. It's like that, literally around the dumpster, there's just like ooze dripping out. And it's fucking Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
There's also another interview on the disc with Mike Abbott, who is the big white guy with the giant muscles that
right.
fucking, yeah, we'll get to him later, but that's also on the disc. And I highly recommend this disc because they did a 4K restoration of this film, and it looks amazing. And
the transfer is incredible.
The transfer is great. They're a little indie studio. They've only done a handful of releases so far. Error 44444 is fucking rad, and they're super nice dudes. We got to meet them a couple times. I think we met them the first time at Monster Mania in Oaks, and we got to see them again when I went to go to Baltimore for the Tapes from the Crypt convention that
right,
was there.
The pop-up
there. And I got to talk to Logan, who's part of the company, and he's super cool. And they're just doing really great work, and it's so cool to see a smaller company putting out quality ass releases like this and really putting a lot into it. I mean, this fucking disc is packed with shit. Like, I gotta open this real quick. I gotta show you some shit.
I was gonna say, I wonder if they did the work, but I guess they must have to do the whole dubbing process and everything, because the whole movie's dubbed if you want to watch it that way.
I'm not really sure. There might be an interview with the guys from Error 44444 soon.
Right, on this channel.
On this channel.
Just to clarify.
Stay tuned. Of course, slipcovers are like the thing. I mean, I don't need it, but it's always nice to have it.
It's pretty cool. I like the reflection on the logo there.
Yeah.
Makes me think of a Pokemon card or some shit.
I'm a fucking slut for Spock Loss, dude. That's like my favorite.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah, it's called Spock Loss. It's like one of my favorite printing processes, and they've been doing it for years throughout other things, but I always appreciate it. And again, like, I'm not a sadist like you are. I don't throw out the slipcovers, but I also don't give a shit. There's a whole culture around slipcovers.
No, there is. But in case everyone's wondering why I'm giggling over here like a madman.
And people are sick about that shit because
they are.
They only buy the movies for the fucking slipcovers and then resell them, which is bonkers to me.
I was talking about, or whenever I threw the last one out on camera, to our mutual friend Matt Curione, who's been on the show but not in a few years, and he seemed appalled. He was like, oh my God, you're throwing them away? I'm like, sorry, Matt. Welcome to the party.
I do love them.
No, I totally get it. And anybody else watching me hear this and just shriveling into nothing in the process, I don't care. They're getting thrown out.
But yeah, I want to let me crack this open real quick. I won't take too much time doing this. But like, there's a bunch of stickers in here.
Yeah.
There's a fucking a poster that I'm not going to unfold.
No, don't.
But
do
it's
that.
Like a full size poster.
Yeah.
But there's a cool little booklet in here, and it tells you all about the film and the behind the scenes, and it kind of does like a deep dive into stuff, and you're talking about not having any information on the film
online. There you go, yeah.
It's all in here, you know?
Don't just go off of one bad line IMDb that might be accurate or might just be somebody had to write something.
So they do a lot of limited edition stuff, too. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy shit. They have a new release coming out called Scissor Penis. It's a crazy Japanese movie.
Not Edward Penis Hands.
No, it's not Edward Penis Hands. It's called Scissor Penis. Maybe we're definitely gonna take that one on Patreon.
Let's take it on Patreon. Minisode. Sign me the fuck up for that.
But like they had
those penises.
They had a whole set where it like came with like condoms and shit and like all this fun shit.
Okay.
But the first release they did, I grabbed Anatomia Extinction. That was the first release they did, and then they did some other ones. I can't remember. The names are escaping me.
Sure.
But they also did Red Spells Red, which...
I remember you talking about that.
I haven't watched it yet, but I grabbed it, so I'll be watching it before we do that interview.
Yeah.
And then report back. But They're just doing a really great job, and it's like such high quality stuff. I mean, this is like Terrorvision Vinegar Syndrome type deals,
yeah.
Stuff. It's just really good quality, and if you miss out on these, you're going to be very upset because they're really great discs. So whenever there's a pre-order, go check out Error 44444. They're on Instagram. They're on all your social media stuff. They got a website and stuff. Go check them out. Go subscribe. Go grab the newest releases. You're not going to be disappointed.
Well, on that note, Joe, I don't even know if I could plot crunch this, but do you want to take a penis hand stab? I was trying to do a scissor hands.
A scissor penis stab at it? Yeah, sure.
If you saw the through line if you're watching or listening.
Let me see if I can truncate this.
Sure.
Robin Shue is a customs, crooked customs agent who is making deals with this arms dealer, Ko Mok Fu, okay? And he basically, he's the inside guy who can go into customs and switch stuff out and get guns and all that shit. So he does. And in the process, he ends up just getting too greedy and involving this other customs agent who he has killed, and then also involves his family. Because he's not getting
to be police officers
who happen to also be police officers that he also entangles in the web of deceit, all for this money that he never actually gets.
Right.
Well, he might get
pisser.
It. Well, we'll talk about it. I'm not sure if he gets it or not. And then also makes deals with these Middle Eastern guys and then turns everybody against each other. I don't know what the fucking end game here was for him.
We'll talk about, because that might be one of my problems with the film, is that Robin Shue never really had a fucking plan.
He's got a lot of good plans, but they never really meet an end where it works out.
Right. He figures out 95% of the plan, and the last 5% he leads up to luck, and he's got shitty luck.
He's got some big balls on him, giant brass balls.
Yeah, he does. Like in Ragdoll, those balls that were hanging out of Kwame's pants, that big pair asked him to tuck back in.
But yeah, and then Moon Lee and John have to...
Right, John, played by... His name's written down on my phone. We'll look it up.
Well, Moon Lee's name is Moon in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Moon and John are affected by Robin Shue's deeds, and they kind of have to... They're kind of sucked in, and they're trying to figure out their brother's murder, because we'll get to it, and they're also avenging their family.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah. That's pretty much
it. Without talking about it too much, because I want to just kind of get into it now.
That is kind of the point of the plot crunch. Give you the big points, crunching them, literally.
Crooked cops doing bad shit, ends up entangling the wrong people who are also cops, and then they have to fight back.
Yeah, right. With some mob shit intertwined.
Yes.
Kind of. So the movie does kick off with this arms deal, and we get kind of these, I guess they call them Muslims. They're supposed to be Middle Eastern or Muslims, or I don't know.
They're Middle Eastern, but they're just white dudes with like brown makeup.
Brown face, some serious brown face here.
Inspector Dan,
which I thought this character was going to be more important, but then they're just kind of a tertiary background element throughout the film.
Well, they're a key person in the main deal.
Right, but they don't end up being like... One of your main, like, on-the-camera bad guys. Like, whenever they show up, they are important, but oftentimes you forget they're even a thing.
So they're buying arms from this guy, like, guns. They're buying guns from this guy.
Middleman, I guess.
To bring back to the Middle East.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, like, not enough.
So
they call in Mr. Ko, and he hooks them up with Wei, who is...
Robin Shue's character.
And he's the customs agent, the crooked customs agent, which is going to get all of these guns that they couldn't get otherwise.
Right.
Through customs.
And he's like convinced this is going to work. Like, I guess the implication is he's done it a few times, but now this is like a massive amount. Like when the Muslim guy's like, yeah, well, we need extra boxes, 5 million extra boxes. The guy running the boat's like kind of arguing with him about it at first. He's like, well, I could do it, but that's a lot extra. And the guy kind of threatens him with a pistol, but it's like not loaded. And they're both like fucking with each other. And I'm like, yeah, criminals, of course, fucking around with unloaded weapons. This lines up. But then, yeah, Robin Shue gets involved and is instantly like, huh. How can I make money on this deal?
Well, he does it for $3 million, and he makes a deal with Philip Ko.
Right, exactly. This mobster type character who's got his muscle with him constantly.
Who is now the middleman between Robin Shue and the Middle Eastern guys.
Right. I shouldn't say the guy in the boat's the middleman. He just works for Robin Shue. I don't want to overcomplicate this more than I need to.
Right. So Robin Shue is Officer Wei Long, and he is like the head of customs in China.
At least for the sake of this film, yes. Yeah. And this is definitely like the evil version of Liu Kang. I just want to just go right into some movie dumpster shit just quickly. Because like Robin Shue, not that, you know, we always kind of play this game with this the movie dumpster, right?
Revenant Liu Kang?
Yeah, Revenant Liu Kang. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. Because he's got glasses on, obviously.
Okay, yeah.
He's evil because he's got glasses.
He's got short hair, too.
Short hair. He's got the uniform on. He's in it for himself. Yeah. I might even be... what's his face in disguise as
Shang Tsung?
Yeah, Shang Tsung as Robin Shue. We don't have the timeline on this one because we know, you know, MDU.
Kerry Tagawa is it?
Right,
is
it could be Kerry Tagawa. Movie Dumpster Universe, all movies are connected. So, like, I know, like, Mortal Kombat happens. It's got to be after this. Or if it's Revenant Liu, this could just be a totally different timeline. Unrelated to the Mortal Kombat, at least in the MDU timeline, where he then eventually ends up in Beverly Hills Ninja with Chris Farley at some point after Annihilation, I guess.
I'm going with Shang Tsung.
For sure.
Shang Tsung? Yeah.
So it could kind of still be in the same hemisphere as far as the timeline
thing,
goes.
It's in the same thing, because Robin Shue's not an evil guy.
That's, I guess, what I was kind of starting that with. You can play evil roles, but he just doesn't seem the type, and we've only really seen him in good roles, at least on this show, at least in my own personal viewing also, and it was kind of also an interesting role to see him in, this kind of asshole bad guy who doesn't care about anything but what he wants and is just kind of lording shit over people throughout the film, which was very interesting to see Robin Shue as.
And he's fucking excellent, dude.
Yeah, him playing this character is great, but just the MDU shit is creeping into my mind. Like, how do I make this work? He's kind of a dick, and Liu Kang is definitely not a dick, at least in the movies. And that's just kind of funny to me.
I was, like, taken aback because I knew Robin Shue was in it, but I didn't know...
He should have been billed higher, honestly.
I didn't know how big of a part he had.
Him and Moon Lee should have swapped billing, but I understand she was kind of big at the time. Robin Shue is probably one of his first movies.
It's actually, I think it's, like, 10th movie?
Really?
Ish, or, like, 5th movie, somewhere in the pocket
there.
Wow,
okay, yeah. That's kind of shocking to me.
He's the main bad guy.
That's what I'm saying. He's like the last
on
the billing.
He's the fucking main bad guy.
At
which
least
is
out
crazy.
Of your top.
Well, I guess because it's like, you know, that thing where they don't want you to know, I guess.
Yeah. Stardom, hierarchy, that shit.
But let me tell you something, man. Like, I was thinking about Mortal Kombat, and I love him in Mortal Kombat. I love him in Beverly Hills Cop as Gobei.
Ninja, not Cop.
Or, excuse me, Beverly Hills Ninja. Well, yeah.
Both great films, but.
Both in my head. Well, now I just want Chris Farley to team up with Axel Foley. And
oh my god, now talking about the MDU, we gotta cover both of those movies and just do the crossover.
They're going together. Yeah. Oh man, I wish that would have been a fucking movie for sure.
Oh my, Farley and Eddie Murphy. Oh my god.
You know, in my head, I Robin Shue is Liu Kang.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
But after this, I'm like, fuck, I need to do a deep dive on his
career.
Hong Kong films because
maybe he's a bad guy in a lot of shit. I don't know, man.
He's like an assassin in another movie as well.
That's
so
cool.
I mean, and he's a great stunt guy and a great martial artist too. So it's so cool to see that on display. He is fucking killing motherfuckers in this movie.
Anytime anyone disagrees with him, he starts kicking them.
Oh, dude,
and then
great.
He pulls out a pistol.
Oh, dude, we'll get to it.
Yeah. We also do have this detective character, Detective Lee, who is going after Robin Shue, trying to figure out...
Jimmy Lee.
Jimmy Lee, trying to figure out what the fuck's going on with this this smuggling operation. He hasn't been on an episode, but he was in a live watch-along, one of the first live watch-alongs.
Yes.
He's in Future Cops.
Yes.
Now, I don't remember this character visually. I couldn't piece it together. I didn't go roll back the tape to find out, but he plays... Aang Sing or Ah Sing, and I don't remember what character that was because it was the whole Street Fighter parody in that film.
He's one of the future cops, right?
He is. He's got to be, right? That was kind of cool to see him in this. I actually like this character. Towards the end, I feel like they don't know what to do with him, but for most of this film, he's kind of the drawing or...
He's the hard-boiled cop. He's the loose cannon.
He is that hard-boiled cop, exactly. Yeah, he's the one pushing the plot forward.
And when he's not chasing Mr. Ko, you know, he's chasing bad guys in a Bobo with his brother, Mark Dacascos.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. In Double Dragon.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He's putting that the garbage inside the car to make it run. Yeah, I remember. Austin Powers is there putting the shit in there. Go back and check out our Double Dragon episode. We talk about it.
Unless we forget Alyssa Milano's ass.
We can never forget about that, no. Unfortunately. It's not even that nice of an ass. I mean, it's a pretty nice ass.
It's a pretty good ass.
Bimmy and Jimmy thought it was pretty nice. You know, Dumpster Dwellers, let us know.
So before we get to, like, the first action set piece in this movie, I want to talk about, I want to introduce Yan Yan, who's the little girl, and John and Moon, who is her mother and father, who are also police officers as well.
Right. Who end up kind of being like our tertiary heroes, and then kind of are really flung to the forefront as the heroes of this film towards the end. But at first, they're just kind of friends with some of our protagonists.
Yeah, we got Ray Liu playing John, and I think it's John in the movie.
They say Liu a bunch of times, so maybe it's he's credited as John.
He's credited as John in the English thing.
Yeah, but they say Liu, John Liu. I don't know.
He was he's another Hong Kong star, and he was in Dragon Blood with Philip Coe, and he's also in Devil Hunters with Moon Lee.
Okay.
So that's the connection with them, and a lot of these actors have been in other movies with each other. And then, of course, Moon Lee is there, so I want to talk a little bit about Moon Lee, because I do want to highlight her for Women's History Month.
Sure.
Because she is, a big part of the Girls with Guns movies. And associated with that, so
absolutely.
I want to talk about her a little bit, and that's kind of why we picked this too. You know, again, it's not the lady kickboxer or again fighting madam or anything like that.
Right.
But no. I mean, she does kick some ass in this movie.
She does,
and she has some fucking crazy stunts in this because she is a stunt woman as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just want to talk a little bit about her. She started as a dancer as a child, and because of her flexibility and discipline and stuff, she actually kind of segued into martial arts movies, which was kind of interesting.
That's cool.
I didn't realize that. And then she also, I don't know if she was a television star before or after, but she did a lot of stuff in Japan on TV. But obviously, she was a huge Hong Kong 90s action movie star. And she's done a ton of stuff. The Protector, Fighting Madam, Angel Enforcer, Devil Hunters, Kickboxer's Tears, Enter Lady Kickboxer, Angel the Kickboxer, and a ton of other stuff. Really, really excellent actress, really excellent stunt woman, and martial artist. And she's fucking incredible. And she's a really great actor, too. Has a lot of emotional range on her, especially in this movie.
Yeah, especially, like, there's specific scenes where they really got her to act hard.
Phew, man. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring one thing up, because she had a really bad accident.
Right before this.
Yeah, well, yeah, in Devil Hunters, which was 89, so it was, like, right before this, where she was doing a stunt that dealt with fire. And she got, like, severely burned. She had third-degree burns on her body.
Like, all over it.
And really got fucked up from that stunt.
And then did this, like, 6 months later or something like that, I was reading, because this came out in 90, so it's got to be, like, right in between. You're recovering, like, getting skin graft surgery, and maybe that's why she's not in it as much. Maybe she was originally supposed to be in it a lot more, and they had to pivot because she got lit on fire in her last movie.
It's possible, but she had burns to her face and her hands and stuff. I couldn't tell either. And
whether that's makeup or prosthetics or just the surgery was that good.
I mean,
a little bit of all three.
Hopefully, she just healed really well and was able to get through it by the doctors and stuff.
Sure.
I mean, good for her. That's fantastic. And that's a horrible accident.
Again, what do we say? There's no safety protocol on these films.
Well, there is safety protocol. They actually take. They're very scrutinizing about the stunt work and stuff. Even though it's crazy shit, they're trying to be as safe as possible.
I mean, I'm sure they are. It's just, again, certain stunts still happen where I'm like, how?
Well, that was a...
But I can see what you're saying.
That particular thing was like a pyrotechnic timing issue. So they set it off.
She got lit on fire.
Yeah, they set it off before she fucking jumped. And then she just was like a fireball that crashed to the ground.
That happened to like The Undertaker once at a wrestling event. It was like WrestleMania or some kind of pay-per-view. And he got like lit on fire and like burned his eyebrows off and he got like third degree burns and
I think
he still did the fucking match. It's like crazy.
That's
what can happen
nuts,
with
man.
Pyro.
So yeah, shortly after the 90s, she stopped acting and she opened up her dance school because she used to be a dancer.
Okay.
And it's like this prestigious, now she has like a prestigious dance school. I don't know if it's still going, but she's won a bunch of awards for it and the people that went there and have done dance. So that's pretty fucking cool.
That's good to hear about that.
So yeah. Jimmy Lee is put on the case because there was something going on with an arms deal.
Right.
So the arms deal that he's, the case he's put on is the one that's done by Robin Shu in the beginning. And they caught one of the guys, the Middle Eastern guys. They caught Dan, Detective Dan, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Again, he's supposed to be Muslim or Middle Eastern. Again,
he's Middle Eastern.
But he's white as fuck. It's just some white guy. He's even got like a beard. And like they arrest him, like Joe's saying, and they get him in the car, but then like they don't handcuff him or anything. They're just going on the honor system because he gets in the back seat. And then like as the last cop goes to get in, he just kicks the door into them and fucking runs off. And somehow in this chaos of this situation, his parking garage, he gets a fucking machine gun.
He takes a gun out of the cop's waistband and he shoots the shit out of him. He's just mowing people down.
He kills in this scene like like probably 20 or 30 people. Like, at least 90% of them are cops, but, like, a ton of civilians,
it's
too.
It's this fucking parking garage, and there's just, it's full of people, and they're just getting mowed down, dude. There's squibs popping up all over the place. One of the cops fucking shoots somebody by accident. I'm like, holy shit.
This is like Return of the Living Dead when they call, like, please send more cops. Like, the cops keep running in, and this guy just keeps shooting them. Moon Lee finally comes in with her husband, and they're, like, the only two that are like, yeah, kind of walk around them. Like, let's kind of flank them instead of just running in and getting shot in the leg instantly.
They're just, it's like a whole fucking shootout. Yeah. Now, you know, I don't know how it works exactly in China, but there's like different ranks of officers.
Military officers or something.
Because there's like military
cops
and like regular cops, and these are not like on the beat cops because they're also like enforcers. They have like machine guns and like body armor and shit.
It's definitely a case of we just don't know because they're assuming you're from Hong Kong seeing it because it must be normal to them.
I just don't want to sound like an idiot.
No, same, but I think that is what it is. It must be some kind of military branch that we're just ignorant about. Yeah. But yeah, they all come in. Oh, actually, Lee is the only other cop in the situation who's kind of got a handle on what's happening. I mean, he wants this guy caught alive, and he's killed like 30 fucking cops, 20 civilians. Like, they're not taking him alive. John eventually just corners his ass and is like, no, and just fucking unloads on him, drops like a full clip in his fucking chest. It's like, oh, I wanted him alive. We need him alive. And it's like, he just killed 40 people. I'm sorry. We're not saving this guy.
Well, they needed him to close the arms deal, or not the deal, but the case, because they needed him to talk so that they could fucking get, you know, Ko or Way, as we talk about.
To get somebody right. But yeah, there goes their fucking leverage out the window. Yeah. But again, the guy's going on a killing spree. What are they supposed to fucking do at that point?
So they light him up and that fucking dude is DED.
Yeah, big time.
And Jimmy finds like shit in his briefcase about the guns that are in the crates on the boat that are going through customs.
Yeah, but then it just says like towels and shit. And he's shaking his head like, oh, what the fuck?
It says bullshit, but like the weight doesn't line up. So he's like, motherfucker. So he goes down to the dock to look
at
the shit.
He's looking around, like looking for security guards and shit, and just like climbs up these crates and starts breaking it open. He's like, ah, panda bears. What the fuck?
They switched it out. Before that, Wei, Robin Chu sends his guys in. They knock out this guy, Mew.
Oh, right. That's important. Yeah.
Yeah. They knock out this guy, Mew, who's the customs agent for that particular spot. And they take the guns and they switch the crates.
That's true, right? That's where the fucking trouble begins.
That's
Robin
where the
Chu,
begins.
Fucking, he's greedy again. We said that, but this is where he's like, ha, okay, we're going to get this to work. We're not going to get caught. And then, like, he starts coming up with these other bizarre ideas that ended up, may or may not work out for him, but yeah.
Well, Jimmy goes and he fucking confronts Robin Chu. And he's like, you motherfucker. He's like, you wouldn't let me in there. And I know it's you. You took the guns out of there and you replaced them. Like, the only way this could be done is if there was a customs agent that was in there. So then Robin Chu thinks on his feet because he first starts yelling at Jimmy.
Yeah.
But then he's like, well, actually, look, I'm sorry. Here, let's figure this out right now. Okay, Officer Mew, can you come into my office, please?
Yeah, this poor bastard who already probably feels bad that he got clonked, and like he comes in and he's like, yeah, I guess it's my fault because I got knocked out and then like I woke up and they were standing over me yelling at me that everything was stolen. I didn't really have any excuses. It's like just this guy, just this blue collar guy just trying to do his job. Yeah, I guess he's in the military, but regardless. And
Jimmy's fucking yelling at him. Yeah. He's like, it was you, wasn't it? You stole the guns and you're the trafficking the guns and stuff like that. And he's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, buddy.
He's like, I don't know anything about that, but they did knock me out.
So Robin Chu suspends his ass, Mew, and he's like, all right, get the fuck out of here. You know, you can't, you're off the force for now.
You're suspended.
Until this is figured out.
I do kind of love how Mew, he then goes into the locker room and he's kind of talking to He doesn't know this, but he's talking to two of his co-workers, and one of them is one of the guys that works for Robin Shue. And he's just like, yeah, now that I'm leaving, he's like, it's going to suck, but you guys got to take up my leverage. You guys got to pick up the slack. And he means well.
You guys are good cops.
Yeah. Yeah,
or like, whatever, customs agents.
I guess. And he's like, yeah, okay, whatever, Mew. Get the fuck out of here. I got to take a shower.
Yeah, you get Billy here and you get Little Devil.
Billy, that's it. Little Devil. I couldn't think of that guy. Did they ever actually say that?
No, they just call him Little Devil.
Okay, I missed that. I was like, the whole movie, I was like, the guy in the shower, the guy with the hair, the guy with the eye. Like, I couldn't think of his name.
He might have a name, but they refer to him as Little Devil.
Yeah, but you're right. He is talking to Billy and Little Devil. You're right. Just kind of saying, all right, I'm out. I'll see you later.
Billy's feeling terrible. It's like Mew's birthday, and he's like, come on, come hang out with me. It's my birthday. And he's like,
he's like, I got suspended, and it's my birthday.
He's like having this flashback of him like hitting him over the fucking head with the crowbar, and he's just like, ugh,
right.
Sorry.
Billy is a character that I just think is just some random mook at first, but they really just elaborate on this guy's character, and it kind of works.
He has a great arc, dude. He has a really good arc.
Because you're right, he is already kind of regretting it, but what is he going to do? Like, the plan's in motion.
Yeah.
It's too late.
Well, Mew sees that in Little Devil's locker, he goes to take a shower and he like opens it up and he finds all of the stuff from the crates.
Which he would know instantly what it is and is like, what the hell?
And he's like, motherfucker, this is all the shit that was on that list. So he takes it and he goes to call John, but he's already out because they were going out for their birthday outing.
Right, yeah. Also, just, I thought of Valentine instantly because we were joking on about that when we did our commentary track on Patreon. .com/moviedumpster for $5 and $10 tiers if you want to hear the Valentine commentary track. But we were joking about there's that scene in Valentine where her fucking water turns off and she's got the shampoo in her hair.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, Little Devil, he runs out. I mean, he's running out of the shower because he realizes, oh, fuck, the goose is caught. That's not even an
expression.
Cat's
out of the bag.
Cat's out of the bag. What? Goose is
cooked. Goose is cooked.
I tried to make that work. Cat's out of the bag. So he calls John, or he doesn't call John. He calls Robin Shue. Yeah. But I'm thinking about, hey, you know, wash your hair in the toilet or something, Little Devil. Anyway.
He's all soapy, like running down the hallway. Like,
his butt cheeks are squeaking.
Oh, no.
He calls Robin Shue, and Robin Shue thinks he's got this on lockdown. And he does like the classic, like, evil bad guy in the business chair, like, turn with like the pen in the mouth, like, what do you mean he got the information? Well, guess we gotta kill him.
Oh my god. So
basically,
previous to this, Robin Shue shows his big balls again to Philip Coe, and he's like, yeah, I'm not gonna give you your guns. I want another 10 million.
Yeah.
Or I want 10 million instead of 3 million. So they go at it. And he's basically, that's how he kind of like starts putting pressure on Coe. And he's like, yeah, I have the guns and you can give me the money. And once I get the money, I'll give you the guns.
That scene though, they're in the warehouse and they're arguing and fucking Coe pulls out this revolver and puts it in,
sticks it in his mouth.
And he's like, yeah, you think I won't do it? He's like, well, fucking shoot. He's about to pull the trigger and he puts like a finger in the chamber or whatever. I don't know anything about guns, but he makes it stop.
Well, no, he puts his finger in the hammer.
There you go.
So the hammer doesn't hit the bullet.
Just after Robin Shue starts basically pleading for his life. Just waited just enough.
Not even. Robin Shue is fucking cool as a cucumber. He's like, fine, you're gonna shoot me, shoot me. And then he gets up and he's like, fuck you. I want my money or you don't get your guns.
Maybe he just winces. He has some kind of
he's about to be shot in the head.
Reaction. And then you're right. He does just throw it right back in the guy's face. He should have just blown him away then and there.
Right?
He screwed up.
So yeah, Mew has the documents that are gonna put them away. The guys at the customs agent and clear his name.
Right, clear his name. Even though, again, he's just so nonchalant about the whole thing. Like, well, they'll figure it out. But now that he has the info, it's like, oh,
so
shit.
Mew calls Coe and he's like, listen, this guy Mew's gotta fucking die. And he's like, that's not my fucking problem. Give me my weapons. He's like, listen, man, if you don't take care of him, it's gonna be your problem because you're gonna come down with me. And he's like, motherfucker.
And, like, Robin Shue tries to play this off like he knows what he's doing, but, like, oh, I didn't condone murder, but you totally did because you're calling this fucking mobster up.
Oh, no, he knew what he was doing.
I know, but he tries to act like
he plays it off like, I don't know what you're talking about because he's a real piece of shit.
He's a weasel. He's a fucking weasel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Coe just basically goes after Mew.
He goes in his apartment and he's like, I want my documents back. Then there's this fucking crazy scene where, like, Mew, like, punches this fucking guy down the stairs, and he, like, falls back down the stairs. That was a pretty cool
stunt. I thought Mew
was
getting away for a second, but then Coe pulls the fucking pistol out.
Dude, he takes the documents, and he fucking punches him over this balcony in his apartment complex, and he's holding onto a fucking antenna. Meanwhile, Moon and John pull up because they're getting ready to go out for his birthday.
For the birthday.
And not any sooner did they get out of the car and walk a little bit down the street to go to the apartment, fucking Ko
says, fuck you.
Ko goes, fuck you, and hits the antenna, and he falls. Mew falls right into the car. And
he falls through a fucking sign.
Dude, he goes through a sign and into the car fucking Harry Lime style. Oh. And it just explodes.
And then he's like, he's still kind of barely alive, and then just like dies in their arms, more or less.
It's fucked
like,
up.
Like, Mew, no, oh my God.
Well, Mew is Moon's brother.
Right, yeah. And they're all very close.
I actually said that right. Mune.
Mune.
Mune is, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mune is Mune. Yeah.
Is
that
Moon.
Is, yeah, that is kind of hard
that's
to say.
That's why she chose it. Anyway.
but then we get this elongated funeral scene, which I kind of like, where we kind of first get. The picture, you think he might actually live. There might be a smidge of a chance he might survive, but no.
You totally missed the car chase part.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, because there's the whole car chase.
Dude.
Where John is like, goes to run up to someone for help, and he realizes they were part of it.
No.
It's Ko.
It's Ko, and he doesn't realize, and you're just and he gets away. It's like a real Uncle Ben situation with the fucking...
The killer, Spider-Man. You're right. I shouldn't forget that part, because even... This is off screen, but John rips the whole roof
John
of the car off.
John rips the whole fucking roof of the... He must have...
down the car! Pulls
Mew off, takes the whole fucking top off, and he's... And
I was
dude,
thinking about that, he, like, how that went down, but...
This reminded me of the Batman with the penguin chase.
Oh, like that style kind of chase.
That style, man, because like it's like Hong Kong drift, man. He's fucking flying down this freeway to catch up to this car, and he finally finds it. He fucking just pulls out a revolver next to Ko, and he's like, pull the fuck over.
I love how Ko even gets like a mini flashback. He's like, who the fuck's this Joker? And he remembers, oh, he shot my old business partner. And he's like, he's a cop!
So it turns out that John had busted Ko years before and killed like his fucking brother.
Right, brother,
in this
I
drug
guess,
deal.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it was a sting operation. Yeah. And he's like, motherfucker, it's Ko. And Ko pulls out a fucking shotgun, and these cars are going around this Hong Kong freeway, and he's just unloading this fucking shotgun on them, and it's really awesome.
Ko also loves to just prop the shotgun up, like, on this corner there, like, where the side mirror is, that little corner.
Dude, he's blowing off his fucking door, his roof goes, or his hood goes flying off. This car finally pulls out, and Ko's car swerves, and... John's car smashes into it, but right before that, he like fishtails out and shoots the gun out the window and fucking blows the
driver.
Shoots him right in the head, and then it goes
off a dock.
Flying off a dock. Dude, I'm sorry, but I had to explain that because it's just so fucking cool. And I guess John just assumes that Ko's dead.
I mean, as you would.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he somehow miraculously got out of there. Maybe he had a fucking oxygen tank in the back seat that he puts on. I don't
know. Obi-Wan gave it to him. You know, the little fucking...
those little things from Phantom Menace. Okay. Yeah. He survives, though, because we need that final confrontation. He also has a similar scene at the end, now that I'm thinking about it, but we'll get there in a second.
There's also little interstitial bits between, like, where he talks to Moon and about her brother's death, and, like, he doesn't want to upset her, but he tells her that it's Ko, and, like, he could still be out there, and now we have to fear for the family and stuff, and he's like, I gotta go stop him, and Moon gets really upset about that.
Right, and this is where we do get those funeral scenes where, we have, like, Billy's, like, crying and grabbing the casket, clearly blames himself, and then, like, they had the actual ceremony, and Lee shows up, and he's like, I'm not even here to give my condolences. He's like, I just came here to prove a point, because, like, Rob and Shu were all there, and it's like, what the fuck?
And he's like, oh, your brother and your sister, oh, you killed your brother. Both of you conspired. Why'd you do it? And he's really...
I guess that's what he really thinks.
Putting the pressure on him to, like, confess, and Billy's, like, about to crack, because previous to this, Billy... goes and confronts Robin Shu, and then Robin Shu...
Oh, yeah, he puts his thumb on him big time.
He's like, I'm gonna take you down, motherfucker. And Robin Shu's like, oh, yeah? And he pops in a fucking VHS tape, and it's like Billy...
Yeah, hitting him in the head!
It's Billy hitting Mew in the head and taking the crate out, like, red-handed.
I don't know why you ever agreed to this. I get that, like, in retrospect, people have remorse.
Money.
And you're now realizing you basically got one of your best friends and coworker killed.
He feels
the
bad.
The pressure's on.
He feels bad that, you know, he did that to him, but he was, like, willing to let it go. But after he died, he's like, this is fucked up. He was a good dude.
Which makes him an asshole, too, but at least he shows remorse. So I kind of like him by the end of the film, and he goes out in a blaze of glory.
He becomes a martyr for... for Mew for sure.
Yeah. In fact, in that scene when he does confront Robin, there's this. It's not meant to be funny, but Billy's like, "Ah, you cocksucking motherfucker! I'm gonna take you down." And that's when he lays the law on. I'm like, "No, you're not. I have the tape." But I just thought that was funny. Like he really was about to beat Robin Shue's ass.
Oh yeah.
And just no, you're not. I have evidence against you.
He's like, "You got the wrong guy. Look at that TV. There's the bad guy."
Right. Oh yeah.
That was pretty evil fucking as shit. Great.
Yeah. So. Robin Shue does another face turn. Now he goes to the Middle Eastern
guys.
If you
want to call it that.
He's pitting everybody against each other, trying to get this money. And he basically tells them that, like, Ko is fucking you over. If you want your guns, you're going to have to go through me.
So but it's 20 mil now.
But it's 10 mil now.
Oh, we didn't get to the 20 mil yet. I forgot.
And he's like, what the fuck?
That's
like,
a lot.
He's like, that's insane. I'm not giving you that money. Robin Shue fucking puts the smack down on this guy's ass, fucking kung fus his ass down, and then shoots him in the fucking head.
You know what? I think you're right, actually, because there's another scene later where he extorts them for more. Yeah, I couldn't believe that. He beats the shit out of the guy and shoots him, and they're all just like, all right, 10 mil it is.
Yeah, I guess so. We need our guns for whatever we're doing back east.
We keep losing guys. We're not going to have enough guys to hold the guns if we keep this up, but okay.
So here's like some of the real fucked up shit. So Jimmy's getting wise to Robin Shue, and he bugs his apartment. And he's like on the other side. And Jimmy's like, watch him across the way.
With the papers on the window. With the papers on the window. Binocular vision.
Now, the plan now is to have Ko kill John, Moon, and Yan Yan.
Right. The little girl, by the way.
The little girl.
Fucking like 4 year old. If that.
By setting up a fake like call where he's going to be like, oh, Mew's family stole your guns or something. Meanwhile, he's making a deal with the Middle Eastern guys to get the 10 mil, and then he's going to give them the guns anyway.
Right.
But he needs Ko to dispatch of the people that are hot on his trail in a way where it's indirect.
He twisted himself into a fucking pretzel to make this work.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts.
I mean, there is logic behind it all, but it's like, holy shit, you're really just twisting this knot.
He's using what everybody wants against them. Right. You know what I mean? Robin Shue's across the way, and Jimmy's across the way watching him. He is fucking on to Jimmy. He knows that he's being bugged. He says like a bunch of shit and then he's like, hold on a second. And he looks out the window and he fucking winks and he like pulls the bug out, finishes the conversation. And when he walks back in, it's like a chick in a robe.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's like, what the fuck? Meanwhile, Hamburger Man, who's been eating hamburgers the whole fucking movie.
Oh, my God. This new partner the chief fucking saddled him with, who's just like, yeah, I got to get used to these new hours. I'm not used to this. He's like clearly a desk guy who just gets fucking taken out with a broken neck and smashed into the wall by Robin Shue from behind. And then in this kind of unique, not kill, but almost kill.
Tries to fucking garrote. Jimmy.
With the fucking headset. He just breaks it and like pulls the cord on it. I was like, wow, I never thought of that. A fucking headset cord. But Jimmy barely gets away, kicks away. They kind of have a little bit of a scuffle.
They fight each other and then Robin Shue kicks him out of a fucking window. And this
fatalities
is... Dude, he fucking flies out the window into this pool, man. It's
well, Simon
insane.
Yao was fucking really trying to make that dive. He was not chancing the concrete 2 feet to the left.
That's Ridley Shoy flying out the window into the pool.
Oh, okay. That
it's
makes
so
more
crazy,
sense.
Man. Yeah. It's a really cool shot.
And then yells up, oh, I'm going to get you. Like, can you catch your breath for a second there, pal? You just jumped through a fucking window.
Fatality.
Yeah, exactly. He wished the fucking pit was down there. But no, just Robin Shue escapes.
So Robin Shue thinks he's fucking living large. She's kicking it in a sauna.
Oh, yeah.
And
Ko
shows up and he's like, where the fuck are my weapons? And he's like, don't worry, you'll get your weapons.
He's still talking smack to this guy.
He's still fucking, dude, he's poking the bear. And then Ko grabs him by the fucking head and almost shoves his face into the sauna hot rocks.
Oh, God, like Jason Voorhees.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we just saw Robin Shue literally break a man's neck by snapping it, like snapping it like a chicken. But okay, I guess Ko could take him out too. I guess when you get your eyeballs that close to hot coals, nothing's gonna matter how strong you are.
Maybe he's being coy because,
because
he needs him still to do his dirty work, right? He could dispatch his ass right quick.
I mean, I don't think he was expecting hot coals to the face, so maybe he underestimated Ko a little. But you're probably on to something there.
But Ko's even like, who the fuck do you think you're talking to?
It's like a Scarface thing. Yeah. Like, yeah, you think you're hot shit, but actually he is hot shit.
Yeah.
You don't know who you're actually dealing with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then this is where finally now Ko's on a warpath because he's like, because Robin Shu gets the call and he's like, what? Yeah, Muse family, the little girl stole all your guns and John and Moon and what? That's crazy.
And he tells Ko this.
Yeah. Well, Ko overhears it.
He does it all over the top on purpose, though. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
That's it. The deal is sealed. He has to go kill them, I guess. Or he's like, instead of like putting the pressure on fucking Robin Shu, he goes and abducts this whole family to get his guns back, his weapons back.
Yeah, you know, because it's this whole thing where they're trying to blame Mew for it, and then Billy finally is like cracking and is like, "Oh, well, I might know something, but I might not know something." And then
that was at the funeral, though.
Yeah, at the funeral, but there's like that whole scene there where he's like cracking, and then now he finally does crack, and it's like starting to spill the beans to John. Like, actually, I know what happened exactly, and Mew got blamed, and it's killing me on the inside that he's the one taking the blame.
And then they team up, and they go track down Little Devil because he's only half the team. Little Devil knows where the guns are. He doesn't. So they go track this guy down. They beat the shit out of him.
They do,
and they bring him to the yard with all the shipping containers.
Yep.
They get him to show the guns, and man, again here too, there is some there's some really good stuff. Oh, you know what we didn't mention? I just want to bring it up
real quick.
In the beginning when Jimmy he's like fighting people in the fucking warehouse with the crates, and he's like kicking people and they're like falling off and their fucking heads are like hitting ladders and shit. Yeah.
The security guards.
It's fucking
crazy. The well-trained security guards.
Those falls are insane. But the same shit kind of happens here Little Devil tries to get away.
He says, oh, I'm actually working with you guys. I was forced to do it. Robin Shu forced me to do it.
Little Devil kicks Billy off this fucking shipping container and he just lands like 40 feet down on his back.
And I think it's like that might even be what causes Robin Shu to send the big dogs in, or it might be concurrently happening. But this is
doesn't even know that they're taking the guns.
Okay, yeah. But around the same time is when he sends people after Moon Lee.
Well, that's when Ko.
Okay, I'm trying to get the timeline right.
So these are
it's
happening
close to each other.
Sorry, they're happening at the same time.
Okay.
So they get the guns.
So then Moon Lee is like bringing her kid to fucking dance practice or something, preschool. I don't know what
it is. It's dance school, which is kind of funny because
I guess because
Moon Lee
that.
Was the dancer and stuff, so I thought that was kind of a cool way to kind of work that in.
Yeah. And then this random, like, this insane looking white dude, I guess he's being driven
that's
by
Mike Abbott
that we were talking about earlier, being driven around by these Yakuza types, and he just
they're not Yakuza, it's China.
Well, what would it be then? I don't know the term. Mobsters.
Well, it's the guy, it's Ko's guys.
Yeah. I don't know what the right term for that would be. Mob guys, Ko's guys. But
Hitman.
They grab this fucking little girl by the hair.
This
out the back seat
apparently is one of the most dangerous stunts ever put to film, and I would have to agree.
Would you wonder why? I don't care how locked in you got some fake wires or you got some kind of something that makes that a stronger hold. But if that's just hair to hand, my God,
this heavy grabs this little girl by the hair and picks her up, and they just fucking peel out and they are driving and they're holding this little girl as they're doing this crazy car chase, and Moon Lee is on the hood of the car smashing the fucking windshield open and beating the shit out of Paul Wong, Paul Wong is Jackie Chan's right-hand guy.
Okay, there's the Jackie Chan connection
Chan connection. And the whole time, this little girl's just being held.
She's also beating on the driver, grabs him by the tie and shit. And I'm like, your kid, by the way.
That's Paul Wong. She grabs him by the tie and she's like fucking trying to pull him out of the car.
I know you got to do anything to stop this from happening, but maybe don't go after the driver. Let him keep driving. And then you think like, well, the driver just got fucking taken out. I guess they're just going to crash. But then like the big guy's like, while he's holding this kid out the window, he just somehow, I guess he's got extendo arms or some shit, stops the vehicle.
Well, he pulls the e-brake.
Oh, is that? Okay, that makes more sense.
And they go flying off the car, Moon Lee.
But mind you, this is after like 2 or 3 minutes
of driving around this Hong Kong freeway with this little girl being held by the hair.
10 different camera
angles.
And they're
like fighting on top of the car as it's going.
Get as many angles as we possibly can to endanger this child, because we're only going to be able to do this once, but let's do it 10 fucking times.
So the way they did this,
it is very impressive.
The way that they did this was there was a pipe that ran
That's what I was thinking.
In his arm, and then onto the pipe was a harness, like a specially made harness for the little girl. So I think there was like, I think there was something around the pipe and his wrist as like a safety for her. And then he had her hair in his hand. So she's, so his arm is on the,
right,
the window and it's attached to the pipe. Right?
To stabilize
it. So it's stable.
Yeah.
It's just out the window, like straight. Still scary as fuck and so, insane.
So as safe as you could possibly do this incredibly unsafe stunt. Sure.
Apparently, Ridley Choi hooked himself up to the pipe and they drove his ass around to test it first. That's what he said.
Put the mother's heart at ease. Okay, my kid, strap
and
him
if it,
on.
And if it's like, if it can carry this grown-ass sure. man around like that, then it should be fine for the little girl.
I'm glad it exists.
Yeah.
It's an incredible piece of cinema. I just am like, holy fucking shit. We no are, wonder these laws exist now.
Like, we are not doing it justice. Like, you need to see it
yeah.
to believe it.
Watch the movie or the video version of this podcast yeah. to see what the fuck we're talking about, because it is insane.
It is insane.
And this child actor... Probably some real tears there, screaming. They're probably not actually going 50 miles an hour. It's probably the way it's shot, but it looks like they're going 50, just whipping around these things. I was thinking about, very different scene, obviously, but Coffee. I mean, that was clearly just a dummy being dragged behind a car.
Yeah, that wasn't
just
real.
A car whipping around with a fucking person, and it's like actually a person this time.
There is actually a couple shots in Coffee where there is a dude
stunt person
behind the car. Yeah,
that just,
one when he gets like slammed into the curb that one time. I think we were talking about it. It was like, oh,
it's
shit.
Possible. Okay, yeah, but crazy fucking scene. I think it's got to be in the top five craziest ever. Like up there with some Buster Keaton shit. Seriously,
no,
though,
I
like,
agree
when
with you.
You really start
I
thinking
didn't even
about
think
the
about
semantics,
it, yeah.
like I wonder how many of the actors and stunt people on set were like really nervous about that or like thought about it later and like, wow, we could have killed somebody, but we didn't. I mean, you can say that about so many films, but if you want to sit here and really split hairs, but it's like, whoa.
You are like, I was on the edge of my seat. I was like,
oh,
I know everything's going to be all right. But
it
like,
is one of those scenes.
It's just like,
man.
Holy shit. And then Moon Lee flies off and she's taken, her and the little girl are taken to, or Yan Yan rather, are taken to Ko. And he's like
right.
outside and he has them all. And she like tries to go fight Ko for the girl.
Which is where I thought we were going to finally get that like heavy duty woman empowerment. I mean, we're like an hour into the film. We only got about 25 minutes left.
I think so. I think
I thought we were going to get more of her kicking his ass, but I guess plot still needs to happen.
Bro, she fucking throws it down with him, kicks his ass, kicks two other dudes' asses, and then fights him again.
They start breaking the weapons out, of course.
Yeah, and then he puts her down, and then they hold the kid, and they're like about to kill the kid.
You are right, though. She does take out like six guys, but it's like
she
10
fucks
against
him up.
One. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's no way. She could do it by herself.
But they do kind of the classic Spider-Man thing where it's like, oh yeah, call up Daddy, call up John,
yeah.
Lou, whatever he's called.
She jumped on the hood of a fucking car. Punched through the fucking windshield and was ripping this dude out. Like,
that, you
I don't
are
know,
right,
man.
That whole
That's
sequence.
Some fucking badass shit.
I'm agreeing. I was just, again, like I said earlier, I was expecting a lot more.
It's not fully focused on
That's
Moon.
What I wanted, yeah.
Right, but when she does do shit, it's like insane.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
I will agree.
I mean, that's like the masterpiece stunt of
that
the whole movie.
Yeah, especially when you think about how they actually did do that. It wasn't just on a stage, which is crazy.
Somehow Ko makes a call to John when they're like stealing the weapons
to
or
the
whatever.
Construction site.
To the
oh,
construction
there's a phone
site.
There. Whatever. Don't
but,
think about
that's
it.
That's fine. I'm fine with it. It's whatever. But John goes to meet them and has his gun out and he's looking for them. Jesus Christ. This is another big part, right? This is like the first climax of the movie.
Yeah, I guess.
Because,
it's
just very intense. Like, Yan Yan and Moon are held up by ropes. It's like a real Riddler situation. Like,
yeah, I said
choose,
Spider-Man, but it
choose,
is more like
choose,
that.
You have to choose, right, who you're going to save. Or, Spider-Man works, too.
Comic book-ass shit.
Comic book-ass
yeah.
shit. But it's scary because, like, you have to make that decision.
And they're just regular ropes.
Yeah. They're just held
it's
up.
It's not a chain. It's and, not like and handcuffs or something.
Ko's got a fucking knife, and he's just slowly like cutting a rope, right?
To the little girl's rope, by the way.
Yeah. And John is there, and he wants him to tell us where his weapons are. And John's like, I don't know where your fucking weapons are, because I don't have them, obviously.
Right, yeah.
Well, he does now. And he's like, look, I'll give them to you. Just let my family go. You only want me, like, leave them out of it. So this is a really intense scene because he breaks free and runs at
Mike Abbott. I just wanted to talk about Mike Abbott real quick because, like, he was he did a lot of Hong Kong action movies in the 80s, which I thought was really interesting because I was like, who's this big white guy? Right?
He was just hired to hold a girl out of a window.
No. Yeah. And so he's been in movies like Hands of Death and Hitman the Cobra, all the official Exterminator movies, Rage of the Ninja, and The Final Score, which was, I believe, Indonesian film.
Okay.
But it's just kind of cool, and his story's kind of fun. He's got an interview on the disc, and it's just interesting because he's this guy from England who ended up in Hong Kong he was like, I don't know, I just started doing movies, and that was that.
He's got a very unique
from Cornwall.
Okay, he's got a very unique look. His eyes are kind of popping out of his head.
He looks like that classic like bodybuilder.
Yeah, a little
guy.
Bit, yeah.
He's even got the gap in his tooth.
You expect him to last a lot longer. He's called in like he's one of the big dogs, and then John just beats him like nobody's business in like 5 seconds flat.
Not even, dude. He like throws a kick at him, and he like grabs him and twists it around, and he's like beating the shit out of this guy, and like John just rages out and like pushes him towards the edge of the building and ends up throwing this fuck because Yan Yan's about to fall to her death.
Right, yeah, yeah.
He pushes this big giant guy into a fucking spike that's on this door.
Right, protruding from the door. But it does kind of, I was expecting more, but in the dire situation, I guess he just gotta get business done.
Dude, he pushes this guy onto this fucking door.
Goes right through his chest.
And no sooner than that, the rope snaps on Yan Yan, and you're like, oh fuck. But then Billy reaches out and grabs Yan Yan, runs up the stairs, throws John a gun. John grabs the gun, blows away two of Ko's guys. He's about to fucking kill Ko. But Billy lets Moon out, and then Ko takes her as a hostage.
Right.
So they put the guns down. Now they're all wrapped with fucking dynamite.
And this is the real dynamite. This ain't the Petey Wheatstraw dynamite made out of hot dogs and paper.
No.
This stuff looks like some serious shit. And, you know, Ko likes to talk a lot. He's your classic villain who doesn't know when to shut the fuck up. So while he's just chit-chatting, talking about how he's going to kill them, how he's going to savor it, how he's going to enjoy it, Billy just somehow finds it in himself to just say, you know what? I'm breaking free of this bitch.
You got to set the scene here. John is hanging up by a rope.
Oh, right, yeah.
And Ko is beating the fuck out of him with
a baseball bat, like
a pinata. Meanwhile, Yan Yan, Moon, and Billy are all tied up with the dynamite.
Right. Oh, yeah, you're right. It's not John. It's the baby and the fucking woman and the guy who's betrayed everybody.
So Billy, like you said, pulls out of his ropes, and he goes running like kamikaze style at Ko. And he's like, you motherfucker, this one's from you. And he goes to grab him, and he just sidesteps him. He flies off the building and just explodes in midair. The motherfucker explodes in a spray of gore, and it gets all over John.
Yeah, all over his face. I mean, Billy, great idea, had trying to make up for the horrible thing he did.
Close. He almost got it.
But I'm instantly thinking of, again, came much later, but King Kong Skull Island, when the one guy has all the grenades trying to sacrifice himself, and it just fucking kicks him into a mountain and does no damage.
Hits him with the tail.
I got kind of weird dark humor inserted into this film. It definitely is not played for dark humor. We're kind of finding the dark humor in it. It's actually incredibly tragic, but it's like, damn, Billy, you at least tried. And he did buy them a moment at least, but it actually leads to the baby getting fucking killed, because then now like Ko's like, fuck this,
and
starts unloading, and like, it's not even like by accident. I mean, he tries to look like, oh, I didn't mean it, but like, he aims at this fucking 2-year-old, this 4-year-old, whatever it is, very, very small child that just says good night and unloads.
He just pops her right in the chest. I went, oh, I was like, no way.
Shocking.
I was like, this poor girl was like hung by her hair outside a fucking window.
Right, the actress.
She was hung by a fucking rope, and she dropped 3 stories and was saved.
Oh, man. I said, okay, I know we like held your kid out of a fucking moving vehicle,
God.
But can we also put this like very fast moving squib right on their chest?
Oh, my God.
It won't hurt at all. Trust us.
In the context of the movie, though, it's just like
a shocking beyond
fuck.
Belief.
I was just like, holy shit.
How do you come back from that? And
you
that's
don't.
Why. I mean, we do get our revenge here at the end here, but I was really like, I wanted this a little earlier. I wanted like more revenge, more coffee, more Kill Bill, more shit like that. But that's not really what they're going for here.
Yeah.
Because now Ko's just booking it the fuck out.
Ko jumps off the fucking building, like a 3-story building, right into a tree.
He just killed this woman's kid. She's screaming in agony. He ain't chancing it. He's getting the fuck out of there.
He didn't even shoot them. He just shot the girl and then ran. Exactly. I was like, you fucking scum.
He's a fucking pansy. He's a loser.
So John and Moon set up Robin Shu.
Yes, they do.
Robin Shu's like, now they're all fucking dead. I'm coming to get my guns to give to the Arabs so I can get my 10 million.
Well, now he's going to make it 20 million or for 20 the Muslims million. Now. Because he's like, fuck them. They're the only cats in town now. But like Robin Shu's going to meet with them to have this big like handoff.
No. Well, the Middle Eastern guys.
Yeah.
So he goes down there and he opens up the fucking thing and John is standing in there with a gun pointed at him. And this is a really heavy scene too, man. It's like raining.
Yeah.
Right? They just had their daughter just was shot and killed. There's like a little scene with Moon and she's like looking at a picture and she's like crying on it and stuff. But man, they jump down and they fucking wreck his shit.
They beat the shit up. They take turns.
The shit out of Robin Shu. John fucking punches the fuck out of him, kicks the shit out of him. Moon Lee fucking smashes his head against a sign and then like kicks him into a fucking fence and like starts drowning him and shit.
Oh yeah.
So then they can and then they get him to take them to Ko.
Right.
And they're gonna meet up in the desert. And his big what Robin Shu was gonna do was tell Ko and the Middle Eastern guys to go meet each other in the desert, like he was going to make a deal, and then they were going to end up killing
each other, right?
So they go out there and they use Robin Shu as bait, and Ko is there, like hiding behind
with his super sniper with his rifle,
fucking giant, like it's like this, it's like the aliens machine gun with the rock with the grenades in it,
and also like he could have totally killed everybody if he really wanted to, because he notices everybody hiding. He's like, huh, that's kind of weird that Moon's over there and that Robin Shu's over there. I guess I'll just observe for a while. And then he sees the Muslim guys and he's like, huh, yeah, those guys that we were supposed to do the deal with. Why is he meeting just them? And of course, he's got a fucking microphone or a speaker or something on this sniper rifle because they got to hear what they're saying because it's a movie. But
it's like a Sentai episode where, like, you know, they're in the big canyon.
It's like a video game or something.
And the bad
guy's
in the middle.
Right. No, well, exactly. Yeah. But I'm just thinking about that trope of, like, all right, unless he's got a fucking monitor or like a transmitter on him, there's no fucking way Ko would have known what they were saying.
Well,
but whatever.
It's pretty obvious, though.
Sure.
Like the Middle Eastern guys.
But he hears it. He's like, oh, 20 million. What the hell?
Well, no, because he doesn't know what's going on. And then he sees the Middle Eastern guys get out. And they're talking with Robin Shu, and he's like, motherfucker, okay. You took my weapons and my money.
It's possible I'm misremembering that, but that does happen. He comes out with a gun.
Blowing them away.
big time. He shoots three or four of them. Then Moon is fucking firing on him, her and John. They just basically kill all these guys quickly, and Robin Shu gets in his car with all the weapons.
Well, Robin Shu's about to get blown away by one of the Middle Eastern dudes, and he takes the gun and shoots him. Moon Lee comes fucking out with two
Uzis.
With two Uzis and two assault rifles, and she's just fucking shooting at Ko in his car.
And then we get another car chase.
It's a car. It's two cars. It's Robin Shu and Ko, like, chasing each other. And then Jimmy comes in with two fucking helicopters.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's, like, two helicopters with two cars and fucking grenades going off.
Oh,
and people shooting each other, blowing doors off of shit.
It's like Mario Kart. Robin Shu's dropping these grenades. I was thinking of the fucking mouse, Mickey Mouse from Marshall Wooden Soldiers when he's in that.
Oh, yeah, it's in the blimp.
Yeah, in the blimp. He has impeccable aim, but he can't kill anybody. He's constantly, like, blowing up holes in front of all the cars.
Yeah.
So when Moon first comes out with those machine guns, she's unloading and she's being a badass, but then she gets shot in the leg. So then John, he's kind of circling around. He picks her up, and now they're kind of waiting for Ko to come back around the bend while him and Robin Shu are playing hot grenade
hot
or something. Yeah, hot potato with grenades. And they're revving the fucking vehicle, and they got the guns ready.
So now you have Robin Shu and Ko going at it in the cars, while Jimmy's in hot pursuit up above, shooting him with a fucking...
Oh, he's got an assault rifle,
like an AR-13 and AR-60, whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah, I have enough.
Then Moon and John come driving straight at them, and Moon's hanging out the fucking window with a machine gun, and she's just shooting the shit out of Ko and Robin Shu.
Yeah, doesn't kill Ko. He does take a couple squibs, and then he kind of like tries to, like, I don't know, like power through it or something. Doesn't work.
I don't know. I think Robin Shu like throws a grenade, and Ko goes off the fucking cliff, and this thing explodes.
Oh,
this car explodes.
It's
like in Groundhog's Day where it's like, we'll probably be okay.
I was about to say that Groundhog's
Day. Maybe
you
won't be okay. So Robin Shue's driving in his car, and he grabs this fucking rocket launcher, and he shoots at one of the fucking helicopters, and it just explodes.
Right. Oh, God, the rocket launcher. I forgot about that.
So fucking cool. And while...
He got that from Peter Jackson.
So Jimmy's chasing Robin Shue around in his car. John's like, we did it, Moon. Ko's dead. And meanwhile, coming back like fucking Jason Voorhees, Ko comes up the hill... And comes right up behind John and shoots him in the back.
Yeah, that was the second return. I forgot about that. Yeah. We joked about that earlier when he went in the water. Yeah,
and
he reappears.
This is the cover shot where Moon's hanging out of the fucking car, like she gets out and she just unloads on Ko and just fucking lights him up.
Kill shot, final kill.
Oh,
shot.
Oh, dude, just riddles that man's chest with bullets. So Jimmy's chasing Robin Shue, and he finally makes him crash and like. They like land and they're like, give it up, Way.
They're shooting around him. He's like dodging bullets.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah. He's like flipping and jumping and jiving.
And then, yeah, Lee jumps out of the helicopter and comes like right up to him. And he basically surrenders more.
Fucking
or less.
Throws him in the helicopter, punches him, knocks him the fuck out. And then, like,
you can't do that.
The last scene of this is just John and Jimmy. Like, shaking hands?
Well, because there was a scene, we didn't talk about it, but there was a scene earlier when he kills the terrorist guy that that Lee wanted alive. They have an argument where it's like, you know, I really wanted this done my way. And, like, they have a disagreement on how things should be done. I guess that's kind of them, like, not only did we beat them, but we could overcome our differences.
Well, Jimmy also, like, terrorized
these people at the funeral. Yeah.
Their brother just died, and he's like, you fucking did. I know you did it. And so they're like, we're cool, man.
I guess that's true, yeah.
We're cool, and now we're going to lock up Robin Shue because he's the mastermind douchebag of this whole operation. Sorry your daughter's dead or whatever. Credits.
Right, yeah. That got shot point blank in the chest. Okay.
So where are we putting this, man?
I might have to put this one in the dumpster, but it's definitely like top of the dumpster.
Oh, no.
I thought it was good, but I didn't think it was great by any stretch.
Really?
Again, I do have that caveat that going into this, at least in my opinion, I mean, it seems like maybe you disagree, but I just felt like for a woman in power movie, I guess maybe I have a higher standard or I was just expecting more, I guess I should say rather. And like, yeah, maybe that last half hour, she's bringing it to these fucking bad guys. But I just feel like she was such a background character for most of the film that when she finally stepped into the limelight, I just didn't give a shit. I was more interested in what Lee was doing and not so much what Moon Lee was doing. Not to say that it wasn't interesting. Don't get me wrong. Like, I still had a good time. I would rewatch this without a doubt. And the transfer of this movie really actually makes me want to watch it again just for that, if nothing else. But I don't know. It's just evil Robin Shue. That was kind of interesting. And those car chases especially are just worth admission alone. But I don't know. This just didn't circle all the boxes for me that I was looking for it to circle. Again, incredible cinematography, too, I guess I'll say. Some of those camera angles are just something to really awe at, especially, again, those car chases. The way that they did this, I don't know if it's quite George Miller, but it's in that ballpark. It's moving close. It's closer to George Miller than it's not, which I think is a compliment. I hope it comes off as a compliment because it's meant to be as one. Check this one out. Even if it didn't have as much Moon Lee as I wanted, it had a lot more Robin Shue than I was expecting and a few other actors that I'm sadly forgetting. Simon Yao. Yeah. I don't know if I'm saying that right. You know, the main Detective Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And then John. Again, why he's John. Way more important character than the IMDb makes it appear. But again, that's just maybe just because this movie is very new to coming over here and just people don't know about it. High level dumpster. I'm not saying you got to dig it all. It's at the top. It's by the used toilet paper rolls, some apple cores. You don't really got to move a lot of junk out of the way. It's up there. It's covered in that nice sleeve that you were talking about earlier. I didn't throw it out with the sleeve. I threw it all out together onto the dumpster. And Joe's going to lovingly grab it, I'm thinking, in a second.
So I'm going to counter what you said about the women empowerment for Women's History Month this month. And while this isn't a woman-centric movie, I chose it. Maybe that's my fault. I chose it because it was a newer release and it's just a good crazy movie that I wanted to cover. And by the folks at Error 44444 and Moon Lee is in it.
I understand the reasonings 100%. Oh, I know. I just wanted to clarify why maybe I wasn't as hot on it.
Oh, okay.
Some preconceived notions maybe have affected my viewing experience.
Okay, because so Moon Lee for me in choosing this was the highlight person to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the month, and some of her other films that she's done, and her history in the genre, and the films that she's been a part of. Overall, so to this movie,
yes,
this is on the fucking shelf, and I'm so glad that I got a chance to finally see this. Now, this is what I was talking about at the beginning. Chinese cinema, and Hong Kong cinema specifically, is it's a fairly new venture for me.
Oh, just, yeah, you were saying that, yeah.
So I haven't seen a ton of it, and it's very exciting to get these movies that are not only quote-unquote lost or hard to find or maybe have never been released, you know, in the U.S. before, finally getting to put them into my fucking eyeballs because I'm always on the hunt for stuff that I haven't seen that's really good, and this is one of those cases. And again, like I said, Error 4444 is doing an awesome job with bringing stuff that, you know, folks in the U.S. might have not seen, and maybe this was bootlegged or maybe it did come out on a DVD or VHS that I just never got my hands on or never talked about with movie fans or Hong Kong movie fans. This fucking movie is incredible. It is an awesome, awesome 90s action epic. It's a great drama too. Like, it's a really good cop drama, and the fucking stunts in it are insane. And I know that there are other films that might be just as good or better, like Police Story and, of course, Jackie Chan's other movies and stuff like that. But this has an exploitation element that I really appreciate.
It does.
Fucking gritty. It's that neo-noir thing. It's fucking ruthless.
It is.
It's fucking ruthless. And some the craziest, one of the most insane stunts ever put to film is in it. Really good acting, really good story. It's shot really well, but the real big takeaways for me are Robin Shu being the bad guy, because that's just something I've never seen before.
He's great as
it. And he was fucking awesome. And of course, a lot of the stunt work in it is really excellent. I cannot recommend it enough. If you can get your hands on it or you can watch it online anywhere, I highly suggest grabbing the disc if you can. If you can't, find it by other means, but definitely check it out. I had a really good time with this flick, and so you don't want to pass this up.
No. Recommending it, maybe not exactly what I was looking for, but absolutely check this one out.
Sure. But yeah, if you want some more Movie Dumpster content, you can head over to patreon.com/moviedumpster. You can get an ad-free audio version of the show for only $2 a month. And we also have some other great stuff at the $5 and $10 tiers, including mini-sodes, commentary tracks, live watch-alongs, and all kinds of other goodies you can get and help support your favorite show.
That's right. And if you're watching the show here on YouTube, please leave a like and subscribe and share the video with your friends. It really does help. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, leave us that 5 stars and possibly a review. Gets us out of the bottom of the dumpster into more eardrums, eyeballs, and everything in between. And we want to grow this dumpster community, get some more folks in here, and check out the show. So spread the good word.
Absolutely. And if you want to keep up with what the Dumpster Boys are doing, you can follow us at Movie Dumpster on your favorite social media platforms, or you can go to moviedumpsterpodcast.com and you can get the lowdown on what we're doing. There's a store on there and whatever events we're going to be at. We're going to be at Monster Mania in Cherry Hill, New Jersey on March 8th through the 10th. And then in April, we're going to be at Tapes from the Crypt at Philomoka in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on 420 for a showing of Heavyweights with a live Q&A afterwards with Sean Weiss. So get your tickets now. You're definitely not going to want to miss those shows. And also, we're up for a Rondo Award for the best pod. We're a nominee for Best Podcast. Do us a favor and go cast that vote at rondoaward.com. Deadline is April 16th, so get those in.
Yep, we've got a lot of stuff coming up, and we hope to see you all there.
So that's it. That's Fatal Termination from 1990, directed by Yen Wah Kam. I'm Joel Escola.
And I'm Sean O'Rourke.
Thanks for visiting the dumpster.